Passion Translation because it catches hold of something of the heart of this. And it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. And it says, "Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Then, as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions." See, and the key there for us is that we discover that the resting place of his love is the source and root of our life. You know, we're going home today and we're going home to our own beds, a lot of us are. or we're going home to our own sofas or our own comfortable chairs. And there's something about going home, isn't there? There's something about your own bed. There's something about your own sofa. And, you know, it's like we can relax on it and we can go, it's okay, I'm home. And that's that's not anything what it's like really, but it's kind of a little picture of what it's like. That we can find this place where the resting place of his love, like the mattress of his love or the sofa of his love, is the source and the root of our life. And it's that resting place of his love that provides us with a secure foundation. And as we begin to discover that foundation, as we begin to discover the strength of resting in him and him becoming the source of our life, his love becoming the source of our life, Paul prays that our spiritual strength will increase. You know, it's like we grow stronger because we're being fed by love. And it's like love is the thing that nourishes us and gives us that sense of well-being. And this isn't beyond our grasp. This isn't outside of us. This is something that has been planted in us. This is what Paul is meaning when he says the love of God is poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, you know, he pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And as, you know, that's not just a one-off event. You know, it's not something that just happens when we go on a Going Deeper weekend or an A school or a B school or a Connect Day or whatever. This can be the daily reality of our lives, of the Father pouring his love into our hearts. And it's very, you know, I just tell people it's really simple. All you have to do is just put your hand on your heart and say, "Father, fill me with your love now." You know, if you really want to, you can say amen at the end of it. But do you know what? He doesn't mind if you don't. You know, you can just put your hand on your heart and say, "Father, just fill me with your love." You can do it standing at the kitchen sink. You can do it in the supermarket. You can do it in your office. You don't have to say it out loud. You know, I mean, I walk around my office and I just put my hand on my heart. And inside of myself, I'm just saying, "Father, just fill me with your love." You know, you don't have to sort of, I mean, the people in my office know I'm funny enough, you know. So if I started saying that, it would just confirm everything they know. But you can just walk down the high street. You can be in your school, in your college. You can be in your workplace. You can be any. You can do it driving the car, as long as you'll keep your eyes open. But you can just say, "Father, fill me with your love now." And you know what? He loves to answer that prayer. And it's not rocket science. it's something we can just all do. And I just, you know, encourage you that, you know, It's easy to sort of have a weekend like this, which is great and we love it. And, it's easy to go back home and get into the busyness of life. And we kind of begin to lose something. And our heart longs for the next event, conference, Wednesday webcast even on fatherheart.tv. It's like something inside of us is longing for that next encounter. But that next encounter can be right now. Father, fill me with your love now. If you're really frustrated, you can say, Father, fill me with your love right now. And he will. He just loves to hear that request. And he loves just to pour more of his love into our hearts. Because he wants us to experience his love being the resting place for our hearts. He longs for our hearts to find their home in him. And it's, once we're planted in love, Paul writes in Ephesians, once we've had this experience of love, it's like we begin to grow and expand. And as we grow and expand, we can receive more love. We become a bigger container. We become a stronger container. Paul says we're strengthened. And it's like as we're strengthened and as we expand, we can experience more of this amazing love. And as we receive more of this love, we become stronger and we expand. And so it keeps going round in a circle, if you like. That the more we receive, the more we are able to receive. Because his love expands our heart. His love expands our capacity to receive love. And Paul writes that our spiritual strength will increase and we will begin to discover the great magnitude of the love of Christ in all its dimensions. The height, the depth, the length and the width. We'll begin to see that actually this love is limitless. That this love knows no bounds. And, I say to people at the beginning of A schools, I give them permission to do two things that you're normally not allowed to do. We teach our children not to do these things, but I tell people on an A school they have permission to do them. See, I tell people they have permission to be greedy. Just go for as much as you can get for yourself. Don't worry about your neighbor. God's got enough for them as well. be greedy. And the second thing is be selfish. Don't worry about that. The person sitting next to you, is Dave receiving something? Don't worry about him. Let him get it from God. Just get it yourself, Dina. Stop worrying about him. It's like, just be greedy, be selfish, because God has an unlimited amount of love for each one of us that he wants to pour so freely into our hearts. And we can never exhaust that supply of his love for us. And we get so worried. I remember we did an A school in the Netherlands, and there was a couple on this school, and for the first 3 days, the husband was faffing over his wife, making sure she was getting it. And of course, she wasn't getting it, and nor was he getting it either. So after a couple of two or three days, I said, look, why don't you just be greedy and selfish? And that was when they both started to receive, because they were focused on being open and rather than worrying about what was going on around them. And I just go home and be greedy. Be selfish. Just think of how much God can give you. Because the more he pours into you, it'll begin to flow out of you anyway. That's what happens. He pours it in and it kind of, eventually it fills us up and then it starts to overflow. And we know the reality is sometimes we feel like we're so full of holes that we just leak. And as fast as he pours it in, it leaks out the bottom. Well, his love heals our hearts. And those holes in our hearts, those wounded places, he heals. And then we gradually become a container. And that one day we start to see, this is overflowing. And this stream of living water is flowing out from you. You know, we don't receive love to give it away. We receive love to receive love. Full stop. You know? We don't receive on the basis of us then being able to give it out. But that's just a natural effect of what happens. The more he fills us up with his love, it will inevitably flow out of us. And that will touch the world around us. As we walk as Jesus walked, as we live as Jesus lived, the only way to do that is from this secure place of being rooted and grounded in love. You know, I think I said the other day, it's not about drawing up a list of all the things he did and sticking it on your fridge with a fridge magnet and working your way down the list, ticking it off. You know, yeah, I've turned water into wine today, tick. Well, that would be nice. Invite me along when it happens, please, because I kind of reckon that would be good wine. You know, I practice walking on water every January when I go to Finland. Okay, it's ice, but it's a start. But, you know, walking as Jesus walked is not doing what he did. It's not having this checklist of all the things we have to do. That sounds like the wrong tree. Walking as Jesus walked is having the same heart as Jesus had. You know, my food is to do the will of my Father, Jesus said. The thing that sustained him, the thing that gave him energy, was to be in that place of saying, Father, what shall we do today? What have you got for me to do today? And, you know, I think Jesus walked into Jericho one day and the Father said, there's a little guy sitting up a tree. Go and have a cup of tea with him. If you're in the Netherlands, it would have been coffee. But every problem, as we all know in this country, is solved by a good cup of tea. And Jesus heard, you know, that's what the Father said to do that day. You know, there were the blind men. You know, what can I do for you? That's what the Father had said to him. And, you know, one day he would raise the dead. The next day he would sort out a dispute between two sisters in the kitchen. Because, you know, his identity wasn't governed by what he was doing. His identity was governed by the fact that he was a son. And that his dad was his dad. And, you know, as we walk as Jesus walked, we just have the same heart as Jesus. As we live as Jesus lived, as we're transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another, all it is just saying, Father, what do you want me to do today? Show me what you want to do. And that might be as simple as taking a cake across the road to a neighbor. Actually, if you asked me to do that, that wouldn't be a simple thing, but you know what I mean. You know, it might just be as simple as talking to somebody in the office. It might be as simple as talking to the girl on the checkout in the supermarket. I mean, what a boring job. Beep, beep. Beep, you know, or sitting there all day passing things in front of a scanner. You know, those people just need a smile, a word of encouragement, just, you know, some word of comfort. And the Father might give it to you. Tomorrow when you go to Sainsbury's or Tesco's or wherever you shop, there might just be a word of encouragement for the checkout girl or the lady stacking the shelves or the guy cleaning the floor. You know, it's like, Father, what do you want me to do today? And as we're walking as Jesus walked, that's just the flow of life through us. You know, it's not. It's the little things that make the difference. We kind of think that whenever God wants to do anything in our lives, it's going to be like big, mega and amazing. But it might just be saying hello to somebody. It might just be smiling at somebody. It might just be having that comforting conversation with one of your work colleagues tomorrow, where through you the love of the Father can just flow into their heart. They might not even acknowledge that's what's happening, but that is what's happening. See, as we walk as Jesus walked, it's just simply saying, Father, what's on your heart for today? What do you want me to do today? Now, of course, if you've got to go to work, you know, Father, do I have to go to work today? You know, of course, if you have to go to work, you have to go to work, you know. But it's like, Father, is there anyone you want me to have a conversation with? Is there anyone you just want me to look at with a compassionate look? Is there anyone you just want me to put my arms around? You know, because that's the flow of his life through us. And that's all Jesus did. You know, yeah, he did a few miracles along the way. But I think if I'd have raised the dead, you know, I'd want to go and raise the dead tomorrow. That's a pretty cool miracle. But, you know, maybe it's just sorting out a problem in the kitchen between Mary and Martha. Maybe it's sorting out the disciples who were sort of saying, you know, who's going to be the greatest? Me? James and John? Left and right side? You know the story? And Jesus just sorts that out with probably like he did with the rich young ruler. Just a look of love. Yeah, I think Jesus had that look perfected. You know, when it says in Mark's gospel, Jesus looked at him and loved him. That would have been the perfect expression of complete love. Just in the look. And as we live in love, as we're planted in love, our eyes, our hands, our voice will become the eyes of the Father, the arms of the Father, and the voice of the Father. Because the flow of life will just be going through us. And that's what this world needs. This world needs love. Proper love. Not the sort of commercialized, sexualized, mediaized love that is so prevalent. But what there's a hunger in people's hearts for pure love. And as we're filled with this love, as we walk in this love, it will just flow out of us. And the amazing thing is, Jesus said to the woman at the well in Samaria, just have a drink, and out of you will flow streams of living water. When Jesus went up to the temple at the last day of the feast, he stood up and shouted, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink, and out of him will flow streams of living water. See, all we have to do is take a little drink, and he multiplies it so it becomes a stream of living water. I like that idea, because that shows it's all down to him and not about us. And I just encourage you to keep drinking, to keep drinking. And, you know, just take a little drink. Father, fill me with your love now. Because that little drink will be multiplied in you. And you can do that at any time of the day, at any, you know, whatever you're doing. You can just say, oh, Father, fill me with your love now. I kind of feel it's so difficult we need to practice it. So let's just put our hand on our heart. Say after me, Father, will you fill me with your love now? Father, fill me with your love now. Just allow, just receive, just as you're sitting there. Just as you're saying that, Father, fill me with your love. Just let him fill you. It's this easy. It's this simple. Thank you, Father. Father, just fill us with your love now. Fill us with your love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. See, as we're planted in love, we grow in the heart of sonship. As our roots go down into love, we discover the life of a son. We discover what it means to live in sonship. We begin to discover the reality of living from the tree of life. You know, we begin to discover and we begin to see the futility of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it just loses its appeal, it loses its attraction. Because we start to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because that's what we're doing as we're drinking his love and we're drinking his life. We're tasting and seeing that he is good And why would we want anything else? You know, Father, fill me with your love now. You know, you can do that anytime, anywhere, and he'll do it. You know, we talk about having a revelation of his love. And, you know, we need a revelation of his love. You know, when we have a revelation, it's like we see something that we haven't seen before. It's like the lights go on and we go, yes, this is what it's all about. This is what it is. And it's like, oh yeah, God loves me. And you go home and you tell people, do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God's your father? And they go, yeah. No, but he really loves you.
Yeah.
It's like, where have you been all your life? But no, he's loving me now. And it's just like they can't get it. But you've had this revelation and you've seen something and the lights have gone on. It's gone, bing, he loves me. You know, and that we need that. But, you know, more than a revelation of who he is, we need an impartation of him into our hearts. We need the very substance of his love to be poured into our hearts regularly. Yeah, I love the sound of music. I know I say this often, but you know that, now I'm talking, that captain in that house had closed his heart to love. And then this silly little nun comes into his house and wrecks his routine and breaks all the rules. But she transforms those kids' hearts with love. And eventually, of course, she transforms his heart with love. You see, he saw something, but he received something. And his heart that had been closed began to be open. And he was able to receive Maria's love. And that's, you know, that story shows us the transforming power of love. That when love comes, it changes things. When love comes into our heart, it transforms us. It's not just a change, it's a transformation. You know, it's like everything changes. You know, many of us, I've heard it said over this weekend, and you know, it's true for so many of us, is we know when we encountered the love of the Father and we received this impartation of his life into our hearts, you know what we say, it changed everything. And it does, because it's a transformation. It's a complete turning everything the right way up. You know, for so long we've had everything the wrong way up. And when we step into our sonship, it's like everything makes sense. It totally transforms us. This is the life that Jesus offered to his disciples. This is the life he offered to those people that came to meet with him. This is the abundant and full life that I was talking about earlier this morning. And he wants us to live in that transforming power of love that changes us and goes on changing us. And, you know, on the A schools, we talk about the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And that's what Father wants to do with our hearts. He wants to set our hearts free. It was a real revelation to me when I realized, you know, that verse at the beginning of Galatians 5 that says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. I thought that was the dumbest verse in the Bible. Well, of course you're set free. You know, if you're free, you're free. But it was a real revelation to me one day when I saw we were actually set free from something in order to be set free to be someone. And I kind of interpreted Galatians 5 verse 1 in only being set free from something. And it just never made sense to me. Well, you know, it's such an obvious statement. But when I realized it's a transformation of being set free from being something in order to be someone, I thought, that's what it means. It's for freedom that we've been set free. We've been set free from something in order to become the sons and daughters of our Father. And as Paul writes in Romans, that's a glorious freedom. Creation is groaning, waiting with eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. And we know that word sons includes us all. You know, and there's this frustration, if you like, within creation itself, because it's looking for and waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. For us to truly live in the glorious freedom that is our inheritance. That's what happens when we're planted in love. We begin to discover what true freedom is. Our hearts are set free. Yes, the stuff of life still happens, but our hearts are free. And that's the joy of walking in relationship with the Father. Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 24, he says, "Father, I ask that you allow everyone you've given me to reign at our side, for I want them to be where I am." Jesus' prayer for us is that we would be where he is. You know, and where is he? He says in John chapter 14, "I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to make a place for you." See, at the beginning of John's gospel, John writes of Jesus coming from the bosom of the Father, from the heart of the Father. And in John chapter 14, he says, "I'm going back. I'm going back to that place. But guess what? I'm taking you in me there as well." And Jesus prays in John 17 that we would be with him where he is. Because we are in him. And Jesus says, "You too are at the bosom or at the heart of my Father, because that's where I'm going." And when we live in love, that's our home. Is to be caught up in Christ, in the Father in the Son, you know, it all gets a bit confused who's in who, but we're all in. Our true home is to be where he is, at his Father's side, enjoying him, living in that place of intimacy and relationship with him. When we walk as Jesus walked, we'll really begin to understand what John meant when he said we can know and rely on the love that God has for us. See, those two words, knowing and relying, are not head words. You know, they're not words that affect our mind. They're words that affect our heart. That we know in our heart the love that God has for us. That we rely on this love because we've experienced it. See, this is an experiential statement that John says in his letter. That we would know and rely on the love that God has for us. It's something we experience. It's not a piece of knowledge. It's not a fact that we gain and file in the memory bank of knowledge. It's a heart connection, a heart experience. And as we walk as Jesus walked, and as we live as Jesus lived, that experience deepens so that our heart knowledge of the love of God is deepened and our heart reliance on the love of God is deepened. See, we've begun an exciting journey. And, you know, we are sons and daughters. And that's who we are. That's who we are. We are his sons and daughters. That's it. And he wants us to live as sons and daughters, not to constantly be barking up the wrong tree. Which we're very good at doing. You know, he doesn't want us to bark up the wrong tree, living out of our orphan-hearted ways, living as a slave, living as a dutiful servant. He wants us to live as a son that experiences freedom. Let me read those verses from Ephesians chapter 3 again. Let's take this as our prayer as we finish this weekend together. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and all the power that comes from God. Let's just put our hands on our heart again. And let's say that profound prayer. Father, will you fill me with your love right now? Father, will you go on filling us with your love? Father, that we would experience the depth and the width and the length and the height of your amazing love. Father, thank you that we are in Christ, in you, and that all the fullness of the Godhead, the Trinity, can be displayed in our lives as we live as sons and daughters. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We got plenty of time before lunch. Let's take 10 minutes or a quarter of an hour just to go on soaking and go on receiving and go on drinking. And then we get ready for lunch and going home or whatever.